I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
26th day of the government shutdown. The longer it goes on, does it mean it's the longer it takes to recover? And are there any opportunities that exist to identify programs or otherwise that we don't necessarily need to fund? Justin Bogie, Senior Policy Analyst and Fiscal Affairs Institute for the Economic Freedom at Heritage, joins us. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, good to be with you again.
So, Justin, 26 days now, the longest ever, moving towards that 27th day. It seems as though any number of economists are saying now we have lost more than what it would have cost for the request by President Trump for the wall in the first instance.
Yeah, I think that's right. We've heard some numbers coming out of the White House this week that are estimating about $1.2 billion a week is being lost because of the shutdown. And, you know, that comes from workers not investing in the economy and then kind of the trickle-down effect of that with, businesses that rely on those government employees as customers not coming in anymore and things like that. But, it's definitely starting to have an impact, and there's some indication that this could affect GDP growth in the first quarter of this year. So the longer this goes on, the bigger the effects are going to be, and really the worst outcome it's going to be.
So what's the next step? I mean, where do we go now? I mean, the data, it doesn't lie. Math has no emotion. It is what it is. How do we move to the next step here, and how do we bring about this change? And is there an opportunity to identify programs that probably the federal government shouldn't be in the first place?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of ways you can look at this. You know, we're obviously fighting over basically one policy item that's keeping the whole rest of the government from being open. And sometimes it is worthwhile, you know, whichever side of this you're on, it is worthwhile at times to have that fight over a policy. But we shouldn't be talking about this in now January. We're already over 3 months into fiscal year 2019. These are issues that are supposed to be resolved in the summer. This should have been taken care of in the summer of 2018. But Congress always delays and really doesn't get to work on appropriations bills until after the deadline has already come and passed. But you're absolutely right. There are opportunities here. You know, one of the big things that's been getting a lot of press is TSA, for example. The U.S. is one of the only countries in the world, or well, in Europe or Canada, that TSA or airport inspection functions through the federal government. And it's been shown that they can actually work much more efficiently and probably do a better job if they were a private company. So it's things like that that we could be looking at and really examining whether that should be a federal function.
And I think there's also two things that the president has singled out, the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities. And there's some other organizations that seem to be on a chopping block as well.
Yeah, he's had those in his budget request for years. And there's all kinds of arts funding out there that relies on private donations, and even the Endowment for the Arts and Humanities, they've both said that they can probably get by without federal funding. They themselves depend on a lot of money coming in from private sources. They're only really getting a pretty small chunk of their funding from the federal government. So I think that's certainly something to look at. There's a wide variety of, you know, the federal government has kind of, over the last 30, 40 years, gotten in the habit of kind of sticking its hands into everything, and that's really not the way it was intended to be. So I think anytime we have a situation like this, you know, obviously it's terrible for workers, but it's a good opportunity to say, you know, is this something that the federal government should be involved in the first place, or would it be better served by the private sector or state and local governments? And then these workers wouldn't be facing a situation like this.
So when we think about the national debt's closing in on $22 trillion, I think $68,000 for every man, woman, and child that lives here. Are we concerned that government shutdown and continuing resolutions are now going to be the norm as we engage in this partisan world that we're in today?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it has become the norm, not necessarily shutdowns, but we did have a shutdown back in 2013, so, and then a very brief shutdown in 2018. But yeah, I think this brinksmanship is a major problem. As you said, we're on our way to $22 trillion in debt. The Congressional Budget Office is projecting over $1 trillion deficits for each of the next 10 years and probably on into the future. And we really need to be looking for situations that not only avoid government shutdowns to get the process back on track like it's supposed to be, but we also need to be talking about fiscal restraints, you know, cutting the amount of money that the federal government spends and really making reforms that will put us on a better budget path over the long term.
So when we continue to move forward, I mean, I just, when we think about a time, this was not a good time, I guess was what I'm trying to say, for this to actually occur. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's ever a good time, but when you're in a period where we've seen really good economic growth, we've seen job numbers going up, and really that, you know, it's been some of the highest job numbers we've seen in 40, 50 years. You obviously don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize that. And again, if this is a short-term shutdown, and meaning that they solve this in the next week or two, then I don't know that the long-term impacts will be that great. But if this drags on another, you know, 6 weeks, a month, whatever the case may be, then it really does have a chance to slow economic growth and hurt the economy.
You know, one of the important things is when we do, if and when we do resolve this, is how Congress actually reacts in the after action and trying to pull this together and shortening the recovery period. Are we capable of doing that?
Well, you know, I think they're already taking steps. They passed a bill that the president has now signed that would give back pay to federal employees. The president has tried to take steps like bringing IRS workers back to make sure that tax payments and refunds can be processed in a timely manner. They're trying to take steps to make this as normal as possible. So I certainly hope that the recovery will be pretty quick. But they got to get back to the negotiating table and kind of somehow find a way to put an end to this, and that's not really happening right now. So there's not a whole lot of hope that this is going to end quickly.
So, you know, when we think about the period of time, and there are a lot of folks that really believe that the president may want to do something before the Mueller report, and there's all kinds of conjecture about any number of issues, and now that this is costing more than what the wall would have cost in the first instance, do you see any fracturing on either side, Republicans or Democrats?
There really aren't any signs at this point. I haven't seen a whole lot of signs. You know, that's more on the political side, but I haven't seen that. But I do think, you know, whether you're for the wall or not, something important to remember is Congress approved a massive spending increase just last February, February 2018. They raised spending by $300 billion over 2 years, and everybody on a lot of Democrats were on board with that. Quite a few Republicans were on board with that. If they really wanted to, you could easily find this $5.7 billion or so within that $300 billion spending increase. So this, again, isn't really an issue of money. It's more a political issue of who's going to win this battle and who the loser is going to be. And that's why we're seeing such a delay, I think.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, as you just pointed out, I think we're all going to be losers before it's all said and done. And if this continues,
I
don't know how we're going to get to the next step. And I keep saying I'm waiting for the adult to walk into the room. And I was struck today. A number of Democrats were saying that very same thing. We need adults in the room to try and work this out.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
All righty. Justin Bogie with Heritage Foundation. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
All righty. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you. Are you concerned that we don't have a full functioning federal government? Give us a shout. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.